Welcome to the Deco Retro program here on Planet FM. We will bring you interesting interviews, updates of future deco, modern, retro, and other related events. Also the stories that celebrate New Zealand's history and its people, as well as book reviews and other snippets capturing the glamour and fascination of a bygone era.
Deco Retro.
To New Zealand today comes Aunt Daisy after her fourth visit to the United States, where she spoke to women's organizations and broadcast over several networks. Radio was on the spot to record the return of their personality, who has been known to listeners for 17 years.
Good afternoon, listeners. Today on the Deco Retro program, you're with Philippa. And I'm recording this from home, as Planet FM has not yet moved into their new premises. Those of you who grew up in New Zealand in the 1950s will, I'm sure, remember the irrepressible radio personality Aunt Daisy, who always began her weekly program with a very enthusiastic, "Good morning, everybody!" When I was in my early teens, I contracted glandular fever and spent what seemed like an eternity to me, lying in bed, too weak and listless to even hold up a book and read. There was no television then in New Zealand, so all I could do when at home, sick, was listen to the radio. I loved listening to the serials, Dr. Paul and Portia Faces Life. But it was Aunt Daisy's exuberant personality and optimism that always cheered me up and made her an unforgettable part of my childhood. Her morning program began in Wellington in 1937, and she was still going strong broadcasting into her 80s. Her popularity was such that she became a national icon, still fondly remembered by generations of New Zealanders today. Her morning program was the most famous radio show in the country for a quarter of a century, until her death in 1963. Though she was only 4 feet 11 inches tall, Aunt Daisy was a giant of radio broadcasting, a pioneer who thrived because her half-hour program, which began at 9 a.m. every weekday, combined homespun common sense, humor, lively comment, housekeeping tips, and interesting snippets. Maud Ruby Taylor was born in London on August the 30th, 1879, and was called Daisy from when she was a toddler. Her father, Robert, a carpenter, died when she was 3, and a few years later her mother, Eliza, packed up her children and headed for New Zealand, settling in New Plymouth in 1889. Although Maud, Maud was an extroverted child who loved singing, acting on stage, and even public debating. She attended New Plymouth High School, then, in 1897, qualified to be a teacher. She spent several years teaching at small coastal Taranaki schools until, in 1904, she married Frederick Basham, an English-born civil engineer. The couple, who were to have 3 children, moved frequently, living in Harborough, Eltham, Waipukuro, and on the Hauraki Plains. Maud gave singing tuition wherever they lived. Her radio career had its beginnings in 1923 when she took part in an experimental broadcast in Wellington. "I put my head almost inside a big horn, like the HMV dog, and sang Il Bacio," she recalled. There was further radio experience in Auckland a few years later, when she wrote and sang in a series on great composers for 1YA. But it was in 1930, when she filled in for a fortnight, while the children's program presenter was on holiday, that she made her radio breakthrough. On the children's program, she called herself Aunt Daisy, and the tag stuck. From the children's program, she branched out, filling in as a presenter wherever she was required. She was the first woman in New Zealand considered authoritative enough on air to be a regular presenter. Her natural good humour was easily transmitted through the airwaves, and she was immediately popular. Though she spoke at a rapid clip, up to 175 words a minute when she had on a full head of steam, her diction was clear and precise. She moved about during the Depression years, trying to cement a full-time job while her husband struggled for work. There were stints on 2YA and 2ZW in Wellington, and 1ZR and 1ZB, when she worked under the direction of another famous radio personality, Colin Scrimgeour, in Auckland. By 1935, she was so popular that both major political parties asked her to stand for them in the election. She declined. Radio was her life. In 1936, working for the ZB network, her program took a commercial line. She was permitted to name and endorse products on air, which made her a powerful figure in the worlds of media and marketing. The following year, her program, broadcast out of Wellington, went national. The signature tune of Daisy, Daisy, that began her program, was to be heard for the next 25 years. Her devoted listeners were known as the Daisy Chain. Basham made several trips overseas, and the Americans in particular warmed to her. The New York Post called her the Dynamo from Down Under. She even made a semi-official goodwill visit to the United States during World War II, when she broadcast extensively throughout the country. In the pre-television days, the impact of Aunt Daisy's radio program was immense. It was not uncommon for products she endorsed in the morning to be sold out by mid-afternoon. Her program offered a mix of cooking recipes, handy hints, strongly opinionated reviews, and even a bit of preaching. She was a woman of strong Christian principles. She maintained that she would not endorse a product unless she was personally satisfied that it was of good quality. In many ways, she was an ageless personality. Listeners heard a bubbly, talented woman and had little idea of her age. She was more than 50 before she broke into radio properly, and was still broadcasting when she was nearly 84. Besides her radio career, she found time to write more than a dozen books, mostly cookbooks, and collections of handy hints, and contributed to the Auckland Weekly News and the radio record, later the listener. Basham was made an MBE in 1954, and in later years was commonly and correctly known as the First Lady of Radio. I asked my friend Annette, who lives down the road from me, if she remembers Aunt Daisy and what she remembers about making some of those recipes. My friend Annette has one of Aunt Daisy's cookery books. It was published by Whitcomb and Toombs, but it looks fairly old. She reckons it must have been published in the 1940s. Annette, what can you tell me about Aunt Daisy? What do you remember about Aunt Daisy?
Aunt Daisy broadcast recipes and spoke on national radio regularly for about an hour, many days of the week. And this book was well respected by cooks, particularly country cooks, because it had a wide range of recipes from casseroles, savoury dishes, to cakes and also preserves, which country women used frequently. The book I'm looking at now is number 5, and it is a limited edition. My mother was a farmer's wife, and she used it consistently for making meals for the family and also for taking out.
Mm. That's good. That's interesting.
It was used a lot, and it has lasted the test of time because people all know about Aunt Daisy's recipes, many of which may be modified but are still in use today.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, our mother's generation, a lot of them were very good home cooks. I know my mother was, because you couldn't buy things in those days.
Indeed, my mother always believed that the tins had to be filled, and because she was making morning teas, afternoon teas, even suppers regularly, she used this book a great deal. And I can only say that I ate many of the things she made, particularly the sweets, and they were delicious.
Weren't we lucky to have enjoyed all that homemade food? I mean, people don't cook the same nowadays.
And I think the beauty of it, we were exercising regularly, and all that we used was of good quality.
Yes.
The milk, the butter and the cream, there were no additives. It was all natural product.
No, that's right. Well, you do have to wonder about all these preservatives because they're in absolutely everything you buy. It seems ridiculous.
And you see, if you were using Aunt Daisy's book and recipes, you wouldn't need to do that. And our mother's generation in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, even in the 70s and 80s, was still, I would suggest, still using this book.
Well, I mean, why would you need to put preservative in biscuits?
Well,
I mean, you're not going to keep them for 10 years, are you, or 2 years?
You don't need to when they're consumed.
Homemade.
No, you don't. Right. And that's the beauty of homemade cooking. It's so much better for you nutritionally and taste-wise.
Absolutely, yes. No, we were very lucky.
We were, indeed. And we didn't get overweight. And here it's even got hints for sandwiches.
Oh, that... Mm.
So every aspect of cooking, from the most sophisticated to the basic, is housed in these recipes in Aunt Daisy Limited Edition number 5.
Number 5, goodness. What recipe would you like to read out, one that really appeals to you?
Well, I love lemon, and here we have a lemon pudding, hot. To make it, you beat together 1/2 cup of sugar and 1 tablespoon of butter. Now add in this order, 2 tablespoons of flour, pinch of salt, rind and juice of 1 lemon, 1 cup of milk, yolks of 2 eggs, and lastly, stir in the 2 stiffly beaten whites. Bake in a buttered pie dish, standing in a dish of hot water for about 1/2 hour. Seems a strange mixture, but comes out with a crust on top and light lemon cheese underneath. Very delicious. Orange can be used instead of lemon.
Well, it sounds scrumptious to me.
Thanks, thank you. Now, here's a recipe for happiness. Equal parts of healthy, honest work, rest and recreation, mixed carefully with diligence, cheerfulness, and an even temper. Sift them through the sieve of determination to get rid of any lumps of idleness or despondency. Then bring the whole to a cream, with the milk of human kindness and spirits of consideration and sympathy, stirring each in gently with an inspiring hand. Add to the whole a light sprinkle of smiles and colour with laughter, in season at all times. Cost? A mere thought and a few illusions. This mixture can be made at home by anyone. I'm sure many of you will remember the wonderful voice of Harry Secombe, the Welsh comedian, actor, singer, and TV presenter, who played Neddy C. Goon on The Goon Show. Here he is singing This Is My Song. And if there's time, it'll be followed by him singing The Impossible Dream.
Impossible dream to fight. the unbeatable foe to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go, to rise the unrightable wrong, to love pure and chaste from afar, to try when your arms are too weary, to reach the unreachable star. This is my quest, to follow.
Que será, será, What will be. Now I have children of my own. They ask their mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? I tell them tenderly. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be, que sera, sera.
If you enjoyed our program today, listen every second Wednesday of the month at 2:10 p.m. or download us anytime online at planetaudio.org.nz/decoretro. And we would like to thank our sponsors, Club Moderne, Art Deco Society Auckland. We will keep you informed of all future exciting and glamorous events to be held by Club Moderne. For more information, email judith.moore650@gmail.com. That's judith.moore650@gmail.com. Bye for now.